Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Coming up on this Tuesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live, massive alligator found in Florida. It's absolutely huge. They think it looks like a dinosaur. And they have video of it. We'll have some details about that. You ever think about the physics of the perfect Hail Mary pass in football? Aaron Rodgers has. He talked to an astronaut about it. Maybe that's why he's so good at throwing them. And Team Obama keeps laying landmines for Donald Trump. It was supposed to be a smooth transition. Au contraire. That and more coming up on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome to Trumpet Radio Live. This is the Tuesday edition here on 101.3 KPCG. And we're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And you can listen on the TuneIn app, too, which is a good way to do it, if you'd like to do that. Follow us on Twitter, please, at kpcgfm. And any comments you'd like to send, send those to comments@kpcg.fm. We're happy to take a look at those. I'm Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon here today as well. And how you doing, Grant? You survived Blue Monday? You made it to Silver Tuesday, or whatever today is?
Blue Monday was actually pretty sad. But maybe it was just because I found out that it was Blue Monday, and it kind of turned into a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That could be. Yeah, sometimes if you are feeling a little blue, it builds on itself.
I didn't really have anything specific to be sad about, so it must have been just because I knew it was Blue Monday.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you think, I'm just a little down today, and then you think, well, why? And there's no reason.
Right.
You know, it's just that happens. So anyway, hopefully everyone survived Blue Monday. In case you're not familiar with that, like I wasn't until I read about it yesterday, it's the third Monday in every January, apparently, because all the bills come due from the holiday shopping. And I guess that's the main reason. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the main reason why they – some professor over in the UK came up with Blue Monday. So sounds like a – some sort of rock band.
That's like actually a really good name. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep that in mind if you're looking for a name for your band. There was a earthquake in Cuba. They get these occasionally. It was a measured 5.5 magnitude. Tremors were felt for up to 100 miles. No reports of any injuries or damage, according to the United States Geological Survey. The preliminary magnitude was 5.4, and others thought it was about 5.7, so I guess they came sort of to the middle, 5.5. In May 92, 40 people were injured and more than 800 buildings damaged when a huge 7.0 magnitude quake struck Cuba. So this one wasn't too bad, but anytime there's earthquakes, it's always interesting. Because we get earthquakes now. That used to be something that was just for the people on the coasts, mm-hmm. but now we're getting them too. And every time there's an earthquake, especially, I guess, in California along the fault lines, everyone's always asking, you know, it's just a lead up to the big one. But so far, no big one, just a lot of little ones.
Yeah, earthquakes all over the whole country and now hitting Cuba. You have to wonder if there's any other reason why Cuba's getting hit so hard.
I was just thinking that they had all those they're going to release those prisoners from Guantanamo Bay, so maybe the earthquake opened the doors for them so they could walk on out of there. Go back to wherever they're going.
A
Oman.
Biblical miracle.
Yeah, they're going back to Oman, according to reports. But
unbelievable.
So anyway, a little bit of a quake. Not too bad in Cuba. But what was that big one a few years ago? Haiti, wasn't it? Where they just had all that devastation. So they've
got it a few times, actually.
Yeah. And a lot of it depends on how good your infrastructure is. If you have really poorly crafted buildings and everyone's piled together, a lot of times the higher death toll and such.
Right, and if you look at pictures of Haiti, a lot of their towns are just basically comprised of shacks, and so those would fall over really easily in an earthquake.
Yeah, bad situations that occur occasionally. So that was the earthquake there, 5.5 in Cuba, and tremors felt for 100 miles, which is, I would guess, most of Cuba. I don't know how big Cuba is, but it's not that big. There's a pretty interesting video of this massive, they call it a dinosaur alligator in Florida. You can see it at clickorlando.com, and you should take a look at it. It's huge. They think it's at least 12 feet long. Any alligator is a scary thing to see, but this thing is 12 feet long. They think. It's an estimate. I mean, they couldn't get that close to it and say, hey, just stay here while we measure you real quick. But yeah, you'll be amazed by the video. It's worth looking at if you're interested in giant alligators like I am. They don't know how much it weighed, but it was huge. It almost looked like a double-decker, like two alligators.
Wow.
It's a big guy. So I don't know if he's prehistoric or crawled out of the swamplands down there. Maybe it's because they're eating all the what are those, pythons or whatever those snakes are out there.
Yeah.
Because there's all those snakes now, and then the alligators are fighting them. There's videos of that everywhere. Everything's getting bigger and scarier.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. I'm trying to envision a python fighting an alligator. That would seem to be a pretty epic event. But, yeah.
What are they? Are they pythons or boa constrictors? Whatever they are. I can't remember. But there are a lot of snakes there out in Florida where I don't think they're natural to the area, but because people let their pets go or however they got there, I think in a lot of cases, letting their pets go, and then they don't have a natural predator, so they just keep eating and getting bigger and bigger, and then I guess eventually you have a predator because you run into a gator. And those are pretty epic videos if you've ever seen those. That's quite a fight.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty scary. I know there are a few people crazy enough to actually get close to an alligator and measure how long it is. Obviously, they have to tape its mouth shut and kind of jump on the back and try to hold it down, but I've seen a few people try to do that.
They had that story a while ago about, I think it was in Houston, where a guy found an alligator in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't this big, but it was still. And they called people to come out, and they come out and take care of it. And I think they've got that pole with the noose on the end, and they'll keep their mouth closed, and then that would be quite a day. You're an alligator wrestler.
What an incredible job.
Must have to pay high insurance rates.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be, could be very dangerous. So pretty interesting video. You can check it out. It's at clickorlando.com. And I haven't been to Florida. I hope to go there someday. Beautiful in a lot of places, from what I understand, but a lot of huge, huge animals, too. So we have snakes, we have spiders, but we don't have anything like that.
Yeah, then, of course, with Houston having that alligator in the garage, that's not too surprising either because of their seemingly annual massive floods. So it wouldn't be too surprising if a big alligator could float in there from the swamp or something.
I've only seen them at the zoo, and I always think if I fell in there, it would not end well for me. I would be dead instantly.
What would be your first reaction if you fell in?
I'd be praying, I guess. I don't know. Screaming.
Is it fight or flight for you?
Boy, it probably would be flight. And then if I couldn't, I guess I would fight, but I don't. I just, as a famous 90s song said, I don't think I'm a coward, but I've never been tested. I don't know what I would do. I would try to get away. That would be my first response, I think. I usually run away from danger. But I suppose once you're pinned in, who knows what you would do. Maybe I would find a reserve of epic strength and find out that I can wrestle alligators.
That'd be pretty funny. I think most people probably are not tested. They don't know how they would respond. Like, I've heard that even in like some sort of live shooting scenario, there's people who say, well, oh man, I would have tackled the guy right away. I think we'd all hope we would do something like that, but it's never guaranteed how we would respond in that situation.
Yeah, it's an unknown.
Yeah,
I guess if you have some training with things, and maybe you've been in a few physical altercations. I was too pretty to get into fights. Let's run away from danger.
You're preserving your face for your job on radio today.
Yeah.
It's so crucial.
The radio face is very important. So who knows? I've never been in that situation, thankfully, but sometimes people do have to face down animals and other things in dangerous situations. Here's an interesting story. You heard of Monster energy drinks, I suppose. They're pretty popular.
Oh, yeah, and they're actually quite tasty. I wouldn't recommend having them too often.
That's the dilemma. They do taste, I mean, pretty good, depends on what you like, but they have, I think, a pleasant taste to them. But there's a lot of stuff in there, and there's a lot of caffeine and other drugs, I guess. And so this occurs occasionally when usually young people drink quite a few and sometimes have problems. In this case, this young guy died. And so his father is now suing Monster Energy over his son's death. Dustin Hood consumed 3.5 24-ounce cans of Monster Energy drinks within a 24-hour period in 2015, according to the lawsuit. The teen then played basketball and collapsed on the court. He was rushed to the hospital and died shortly thereafter. The lawsuit claims Hood died of cardiac arrhythmia triggered by excess caffeine consumption. So that's quite a few Monster Energy drinks, 3.5.
84 ounces.
That's a lot. How much caffeine is in a Monster Energy drink? Well, it's interesting because it kind of depends on what you're looking at. If we're just talking caffeine, according to reports out there, Monster has about 160 milligrams. And I'm not sure what size we're talking about here, because sometimes they'll talk about per serving, well, how many servings. I'm not exactly sure on how much. They say 160. Now, coffee can have 95 milligrams for an 8-ounce cup. It can vary depending on what type of coffee. But here's what's kind of interesting about Monster Energy. They say caffeine accounts for one part of what makes Monster Energy referred to as its energy blend. So they have an energy blend. There's a lot of things that are going into it. One part of it's caffeine. So if you look at caffeine, you're looking at about 160 milligrams. But they say this blend of ingredients provides the rush you feel after drinking the beverage and includes the chemicals, and here we go with the list, L-carnitine, glucose, caffeine, guarana, inositol, glucuronolactone, and maltodextrin. They say each 8-ounce Monster Energy drink, so 8 ounces. So this guy had 24 ounce. Each 8-ounce Monster Energy drink contains 1,200 milligrams of this blend, 80 milligrams of which is from caffeine. So I'm not sure if they'd have to look at, if you were trying to measure, okay, what is this going to do to my system? Do you just look at the caffeine? I mean, I suppose you couldn't. Now, the lawsuit is saying that cardiac arrhythmia was triggered by excess caffeine consumption. Huh. So I guess, I mean, even if you're just looking at caffeine, it's still a lot. But then there's all the other things in there as well. And the guy was young. I don't know exactly how old he was, but teenager, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's not as big. And if your body weight's not higher, obviously it would affect you more. So I've heard of this happening a couple of times. And I don't know what'll come of this lawsuit, but it tastes like soda, but it's got quite a kick, and it's 24 ounces. And, you know, if you have a six-pack sitting around and your kid's there, I could see a lot of people doing that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I would think Monster's special blend, it might not be all caffeine, but it's probably all designed to have the same effects as caffeine does. So if you just look at it that way, what does it have, like 10 or 20 times as much as a cup of coffee, and then he's having, like, I don't know, 10 times as much as an 8-ounce drink. So that's a lot of caffeine, or at least things that are designed to make you feel like you're having caffeine.
Yeah, and if he wasn't drinking water, you get pretty dehydrated with those drinks. They're kind of a diuretic, and they dry you out. And so then you're playing basketball. And I know how it is. I don't know how old the guy was, but I remember being 15, 16. You do feel like you're indestructible. You play basketball, you drink a soda, eat a candy bar, play again. You know, it when you're older, thinking about doing that, you're like, I don't think I want to do that. But when you're young, you feel like it doesn't matter. You can kind of have what you want. But in this case, these drinks, and they're sold everywhere, and they're very popular, but they do pack a little more punch, I think, than the old school sodas did. So something to be at least aware of, I guess, if you're a parent. And I've had a Monster Energy drink before. I found it to be pretty potent, pretty strong. It wasn't something I wanted to make a habit of, but they were strong. But they did taste pretty good.
Yeah, they are. I think they are a pretty pleasant drink. I used to like energy drinks more when I was a teenager as well, actually. But even then, if I had a couple of them, I wasn't hoping to go exercise right after. I didn't know if that would necessarily be the best combination of things.
Do you does caffeine affect you? Do you feel it?
Not really. So maybe that was why I was fine having them. It didn't really spike me and make me go running around the house screaming.
Yeah, it seems like different people respond differently to it, and that would probably be part of this. You know, there's probably a lot of people that could have done this exact same thing and it wouldn't have affected them in that way, but this guy couldn't. You know, sometimes people will say that caffeine makes them jittery, mm-hmm. like they don't like that. And other people, it doesn't seem to bother as much. So it is interesting, and I don't know. I'm sure this is one of those situations where, again, it'll probably be a pretty high dollar lawsuit because, well, you feel for the family. You know, it's a bad situation. And then it kind of comes back to, well, is the company responsible? Should you have been responsible as a parent? You know, there's a lot of questions there. And in some cases, you know, people just don't know what's in those drinks. Mm-hmm. You see it sold next to the whatever in the store and you think, oh, can kids go in and buy that stuff? Do you know?
Oh, I believe so. Yeah. I was able to buy it by myself when I was 15 or 16.
Okay. I thought it did seem like they were thinking about maybe making it, changing that, but I don't know. I see it everywhere in the store. Mm-hmm. It's right next to all the other beverages.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, Red Bull or Monster, any of those.
Well, it's definitely not in the alcohol section,
yeah,
which would clearly make it off limits for young people.
Yeah. I didn't know what Red Bull was. I knew those commercials,
mm-hmm,
you know, where they said it gives you wings and they have the funny drawing where the guy would fly away. And I didn't really know what it was. But then, of course, these have become more popular. And they have the 5-Hour Energy and all these different drinks out there trying to boost people's, energy level. Just take a nap.
Right.
Take a nap.
The best way to do it.
Can't always do that, I know. But you have to be careful. Some people have allergies to caffeine as well. It's always sort of a debate how much caffeine can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually has to be a fair amount. But again, it depends on who you are. It depends on your body, I guess.
Apparently, an apple has more of a boost to it than even a cup of coffee, at least for most people. If you had an apple around that 2:30 time in the afternoon when you're starting to feel drowsy, that would wake you up more than coffee would, theoretically.
Can you make apples warm and delicious inside of a cup?
That's the hard part. That's why no one chooses that.
It's comfort. It's comfort drink. Speaking of working out and getting maybe overdoing it, this happened here to some football players. Multiple Oregon players hospitalized following strenuous workouts. This is off-season college football workouts. Oregon hired Willie Taggart as head coach on December 7th. And multiple Oregon football players have been hospitalized as a result of intense strength and conditioning workouts. According to the Oregonian, at least 3 Ducks players, offensive lineman Doug Brenner and Sam Potassi, and tight end Cam McCormick, are listed in fair condition at a hospital just outside Eugene and have been there since last week. Too much weightlifting hurt their muscles.
Wow.
So bad enough to be hospitalized, I guess. It's an interesting condition. It's called... this is a tough name. Rhabdomyolysis, and it's a syndrome in which soft muscle tissue is broken down with leakage into the bloodstream of muscle contents.
Ooh.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
I'm so strong, I got muscles in my blood. They say the safety and welfare of all the student-athletes is paramount in all that we do, according to the Oregon University there. While we cannot comment on the health of our individual students... we have implemented modifications as we transition back into full training to prevent further occurrences. So this has happened, I guess, at a few other universities over the years. And in one case, a player sued and he won because he said they overworked him and he had permanent damage to his arms.
Mm. Wow.
So I've had some workouts over the years where you walk away going, wow, that really did it. But never anything like this.
Yeah, I think... whenever you're talking about a team workout in any type of a sport, those are usually very intense. I mean, they're trying to prepare you for figurative battle. So they push you a lot harder than any of us would push ourselves. Even if we had like a workout buddy, it would not be nearly as hard doing it on our own.
Yeah, it's big time college athletics, and they really get after it. Players this week, they say, were required to finish the same workouts, which were described by multiple sources as akin to military basic training, with one including up to an hour of continuous push-ups and up-downs. I give you 10 push-ups over the course of an hour. Wow, that's a lot. I mean, you think about that. Now, if you're doing it all the time, you know, I could see a person be like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But if, especially an offensive lineman, you know how big those guys are, doing push-ups and up-downs for an hour nonstop. Ooh, I'm tired just thinking about it. I need a monster just to try to think about this story.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. I think hopefully they're pacing themselves at least. Maybe they were going really hard the whole hour, but
I would imagine
like you could be really hurt from that.
Yeah, I was going to say I could imagine them having somebody there kind of making sure they were really getting after it. And you know how those guys are. I mean, they are highly competitive. They probably got after it themselves because they want to win, you know. The sources said that some players passed out, and others later complained of discolored urine, which is a common symptom of when your muscle leaks into your bloodstream.
Ooh.
After testing, others were found to have highly elevated levels of creatine kinase, an indicator of the syndrome. And so that's something that can happen in those big-time college sports programs. Never been pushed to that limit, thankfully.
Yeah, as far as I understand, I believe muscle tissue is supposed to at least slightly rip if you're trying to make your muscles larger, but it's definitely not supposed to leak into your blood. That's where they went a little too far.
Yeah, so it's always interesting because every team wants to be the best, and they're always looking for unique training methods. And there are some people that think, well, you can just keep pushing it and pushing it. Eventually, you can't. You do reach a wall where humanly you just can't go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a really interesting article a couple of months back about some sort of extreme athlete type individuals where they live their lives, you know, I'm going to run a marathon on one day and then I'm going to, you know, fly across the country and compete in downhill skiing. They're just next level type people. And they say what's interesting about them is they die usually early from a massive heart attack. And what happens is they said, even though they're obviously very fit because of all the activity, every time they go to such an extreme, and we're talking huge extremes here, their heart develops scar tissue. And so eventually it just stops working, just suddenly.
Wow.
And so there is a limit to how far you can push yourself. I mean, it is. A lot of times we don't get anywhere close to how far we should push ourselves, but there are those that are more that way, and you can overdo it. And so it's good to remember that too.
Right. That's an interesting situation to think about because personally I'd much rather pass out from overworking than from just being stagnant on the couch all day. So I wonder if it's one of those things where maybe even if it hurt them the first time they did it, they would actually have a higher capacity the next time they tried it out. Maybe long term it might help them. I don't really know, but this seems pretty extreme. But maybe they would develop some sort of a physical immunity to intense working out the next time.
I think there's sort of a culture in the football world too, or probably any sport, but I've heard of it in football where, yeah, they do kind of want to be pushed to this extreme a lot of times, and take it as sort of a badge of courage or badge of honor, you know, that we did it. You know, we took the extreme workout.
Right.
And I know in high school when I was playing basketball, we ran a lot more than we thought we could. But we did, and some guys quit, and some guys kept doing it. And those of us that did, we did kind of have a bond, like even for the last few years we were in high school together because we all did it together. So there is a certain camaraderie, and it is pretty exciting. But you'd have to be careful. And I just think, too, how big some of these linemen are. You know, if it's a wide receiver, he could probably do that. Workout probably wouldn't be – it would hurt him, but it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But if you've got a 300-pound offensive lineman doing an hour of push-ups, an hour up and downs, you know, that's rough. That'd be hard to do.
Yeah, probably maximum pain there. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if most of those guys who passed out were hospitalized weren't even that upset by it because, like you said, there is a mentality where they want to be pushed to the extreme. Maybe some of them, like the rare case you said, might sue, but others probably were hoping they could get pushed that hard.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be the one to complain about it because you wouldn't be well-liked on the team after
exactly.
That. Yeah, they'd make fun of him, I'm sure. Oh, it's crybaby. here's another football story. It's kind of interesting. Football physics. Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers got tips from astronaut Mark Kelly. So we got some tips about how to throw the what they call the Hail Mary pass, which is they call it that because it's your last gasp effort to try to win a game. And it's usually a very long pass into the end zone, and you hope to catch it and win. And he's had more success than most doing that. It says, advice from astronaut. An astronaut might have helped Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers perfect his Hail Mary technique. Rodgers is a modern master of this long-distance desperation heave. He's thrown three Hail Mary touchdown passes in the past 13 months, including one at the end of the first half last week in the Packers' first-round playoff victory over the New York Giants, about, I guess, a little over a week ago. Rodgers and his teammates have said that he tends to throw his Hail Mary passes higher than other quarterbacks do. a strategy that former NASA astronaut Mark Kelly, a veteran of four space shuttle missions, might have helped him devise. And that is what he does. He throws it up so high, you have a chance to get down there, kind of orient yourself, and then make a play on the ball. They've done that before where they've shown the video and they put that little like tracker on the ball. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the arm strength to get it up that high.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, that one he threw in Detroit, they zoomed way out and they showed you the stadium, and then just he was a tiny figure on the field throwing it, and the ball went to the top of the stadium before it came back down. It might have even gone higher than even the top level of seats. It was incredible how high it went. I believe that's a dome, but still, it went higher than the top level of seats, and then it came back down.
And then to have it come down the right place, you know, that's very tough. Kelly, the astronaut, and Rogers, and entrepreneur Kevin O'Leary competed on the game show Celebrity Jeopardy, and their episode aired on in May 2015, and Rogers actually won that one. He got $50,000 for a charity. After getting to know Kelly, Rogers picked the astronaut's brain about Hail Mary physics, according to Sports Illustrated. Kelly says, and Rogers confirms, that they discussed the height and trajectory and factors such as wind and cold when they were playing around a golf together. And Kelly says his Hail Mary passes are like spaceships re-entering orbit. We should start calling it the Hail Rogers. So he's talked to the astronaut. He got some insight about how to throw the ball. Wow. What do you tell him? Just throw it up really high? Yeah, just throw it way up there.
Yeah, that does make a huge difference because obviously in the end zone, both teams are congregating, trying to jump the highest and make the catch. But if the ball's thrown really low, there's no time for it. The defender has a lot easier of a time knocking it down.
Yeah, it's timing. You got to throw it high. It's got to come down in the right spot, and you have to let it go at the right time for the guys to get down there. So maybe, who knows, maybe we'll see one this next week against Atlanta. I hope not, because that means we probably need it.
Unless at the end of the first half again.
Yeah, just throw it up there and see what happens. Actually, the game against Dallas, I think some of the players were saying they thought he might do the same thing against. They weren't sure where he was going to throw the ball in the last play. And end up throwing it to the sidelines to Cook, who caught it. Do you like Subway restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah, they have some good stuff. Here's five things that you didn't know about Subway. That's a pretty bold headline. How do they know? That they're assuming. Five
All
things,
wise.
Five things we don't know about Subway restaurant. And Subway can be tasty, depending on what you get. Number one, they say founder Fred DeLuca created Subway in 1965. He was 17 years old. He did it with a $1,000 loan from a family friend named Peter Buck. How awesome is that? You put down $1,000. When you're 17, you start a chain. That's pretty amazing. It's worth a lot today, I suppose.
Hopefully the person who loaned that money to him got something like a stake in the company.
Yeah, it's very entrepreneurial of him to do that at that age, too. So that's good to see. They say, number two, in keeping with the Subway theme, the BMT sandwich was named after the Brooklyn-Manhattan transit system, one of the original New York Subway lines. Today, we know it as biggest, meatiest, tastiest. Hmm. So that's one of the sandwiches you can get. I've never had it. The first time I went to Subway, actually, I think was years ago back in the hometown, the town I grew up in. And I didn't realize it was a chain restaurant because I'd never seen one before. I thought it was just some local thing. And I liked it. And I thought, I wonder why they call it Subway. We don't have any Subways around here. And I realized, oh, there's a lot of those around. That's a small town. I didn't know it was over the horizon.
That's funny.
What's with the, have you ever heard of the McDonald's? We have it in, no, there were, we had quite a few of those. Number three, they say there's a vegetable-based patty available regionally, and it is actually made mostly of soy. Stay away from that one. Soy, mushrooms, water chestnuts, onions, carrots, green and red bell peppers, black olives, brown rice, and soy sauce. I don't know. Some
in
people
one
might
patty.
Like it. But would you eat it?
I probably would try it just
it
for
shot.
The show.
Yeah. We'll send you out for the vegetable-based patty. I wonder if they would know that, like the employees, if you asked for that, if they would know what you were talking about or not.
Yeah, like if it's part of their underground menu or something.
The Subway underground menu, that's perfect. It's all underground.
That's not such a desirable item on the underground menu, though.
No. Yeah, the secret menu nobody wants to eat from. Number four, they say, of things you don't know about Subway restaurant, all Subways smell the same.
Hmm.
That's kind of true. They have a similar smell.
I probably would have known that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably, yeah, if you'd stop and think about it, I guess.
He's underestimating me.
You haven't been in every subway.
That's true.
But see, apparently this is because all subways use the same bread, and they are sent to all franchises frozen. Oh, that's no good. That was fresh. And the shops thaw them out before baking them behind the counter. It is hinted that the caramelization smell of the sugar has something to do with the distinct smell, but they say it's still a mystery what makes this particular bread smell so unique. What's your bread of choice at Subway?
The honey wheat. Is it honey oat? I forget what it's called, but it's the one that has honey in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the wheat's probably your best bet. I don't know. Sometimes I get the Asiago cheese. That's delicious, but you really shouldn't do it. A lot of calories. More calories in the bread than the rest.
The flatbread's pretty good, too.
Yeah. They have some good stuff. They also do pizzas, which is sort of an odd thing, but why not?
Everybody and breakfast they actually have now.
Do they?
They do.
I don't think
I've never tried it yet.
Huh. Well, it's worked for McDonald's. They made a comeback with their all-day breakfast stuff.
Good call.
The fifth and final thing they say you don't know about Subway, there are about 2 million possible sandwich combinations.
Wow.
Who would have thought that? I guess if you try to eat every possible sandwich combination, could you do it in your lifetime? A couple times a day, maybe?
Yeah, if you had it a couple times a day, it might be possible.
It's like that guy, Jared. I guess we shouldn't talk about Jared because he had problems. But, but he, I don't know. He's a guy I remember from Subway. They need to come up with a new guy. That should be you.
I know.
Grant for Subway.
I look just like him.
All you have to do is gain a lot of weight, then go eat, and then, you know, say you slim down, and then...
That's the hard part, is gaining weight's easy, but losing it all again like he did, and having pants that are like my wingspan, I probably couldn't do that.
Well, it's like, have you seen those, I think it's Sprint commercials? The guy's name's Paul. Is that right, with like the yellow shirt?
I don't know.
He's always... He was on them years ago. He'd always say... Can you hear me now?
Oh, right.
That guy.
Yeah.
And then he went away, and then they brought him back. And now he's doing the commercials again.
But, well, he was with Verizon.
Right.
And now he's a trader. He went to Sprint.
That's right. That's what they did. You're correct. Anyway, it's funny how he wasn't famous except for the commercial. And then they like brought him back out of retirement to do commercials for somebody else. So it's sort of this strange thing where you can become famous for doing commercials and really nothing else. And that Jared guy would be an example of that.
Yeah, and that Dell guy who was like, dude, get a Dell. Remember that guy from years ago?
That's right.
That guy was pretty funny.
Yeah, so if you can find your little niche in something, Subway or Monster Energy drinks.
Oh, that's a good one.
Something like that. Red Bull. The Key of David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Make sure you listen for that. If you can't catch it live, you can get the archives at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com as well. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury, from Edstone, England. That is coming your way as well. Lots of topics brought up on today's program, including Bible study, talking about that, and some of the news events that are going on. I was glad to hear him mentioning some of what the media was saying about... I guess we're talking to one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s relatives, a grandson, or I don't remember who exactly it was.
The third, Martin Luther King, the third, something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And the media was really trying to get him to go and be very anti-Trump, and he actually said, well, we had a nice meeting, and they just couldn't believe it. They really wanted him to come out and be very strong against Donald Trump, and so it was driving him crazy, and he had some good audio clips. Where, like we talked about yesterday, they ask a question, it's not going the way they want, so they just interrupt. And so it's a really, really good show. I'm just glad he talked about some of those things.
Yeah, it seems like Martin Luther King Jr. is a posthumous hero of the left because they believe they know everything he would have said about present-day situations. And obviously they believe that he would have said whatever they believe today. So to hear a relative of his not necessarily be... egregiously anti-Trump like they are probably hurt their feelings.
I saw a headline today on, I think it was CNN, where they said Donald Trump's coming in with historically low approval ratings. That may be accurate. But I couldn't help but think, yeah, but the media has been out to get him from day one, and so there's a reason why he has historically low ratings. And maybe he'd earn them on his own, but... The fact that almost every story they had was negative against him, and then they have the headline, historically low approval ratings. Well, yeah, because you're telling people to distrust and to hate and to all these things. We got to let the politicians earn it by themselves, one way or the other.
Yeah, the media should have absolutely nothing to do with that. If they were just being objective, then would he have such low approval ratings? Probably not, because they have outright lied about a lot of things that he has supposedly said, which has, I think, hurt him in the eyes of a lot of people.
I don't know where they get their approval rating list from anyway. I mean, are they getting it from the same place they got their election, pre-election stuff? Because that was completely wrong.
Exactly.
So check the rating agencies there. I don't know where they got it from. We polled our office writers, and they all, of course.
It's interesting, because if you look at Mr. Trump just as a candidate, and you take away all the things that the media has taken what he said and twisted, I mean, he's the most moderate Republican candidate ever, and he's a businessman who wants the whole country to prosper. I don't think most people would be so opposed to that unless they had been falsely convinced that he was a racist and a bigot and all these things, which is obviously what the media has said.
It's very interesting, and it's talked about on the Trump Daily Radio Show today, so make sure you do listen for that. And again, if you can't catch the live airing at 7 a.m., the replays are on here throughout the day, and you can get the archives at kpcg.fm. I was scrolling through Yahoo's homepage today. They always put up some news stories, and typically they're pretty liberal. And but way down at the bottom, they actually had one where I was like, oh, I'm surprised they put this on their front page. Way down at the bottom. It's from The Federalist, and it says this is a headline: "Stop pretending the Obama administration was scandal-free. It wasn't." And I thought, well, yeah, that's right. And that is the media narrative right now. It was scandal-free. No problems. Which, I don't know how people can say that with a straight face. It hasn't been scandal-free. This author at The Federalist writes this: "The helpful folks over at Grabian have compiled a list of the Obama administration's worst scandals and gaffes. So far, there are 730 of them. But for the sake of space and time, I'm going to highlight 5. So keep in mind, media is saying the Obama administration was scandal-free. Here are 5 that you may recall. Number 1, Fast and Furious. That should ring a bell. Fast and Furious, a Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco's illicit gun running operation that used tax dollars to funnel guns into the hands of Mexican drug lords. The ATF was reportedly using the operation as part of a campaign to push for additional gun control measures. This operation eventually led to the deaths of at least 2 American Border Patrol agents, and the whistleblower who spilled the beans was later fired by the ATF, a move he says was politically motivated and part of an effort to punish him for going public. To this day, more than 1,000 guns remain missing as a result of the scandal." So, again, apparently the media doesn't think that was a scandal.
Well, they say they're trying to do it for gun control reasons, and they have about 1,000 guns missing. Those guns are clearly not being controlled in any way.
And if you were to keep following that story, you know, I bet you'd find more than even came out. Number 2 scandal, Benghazi. This is one of the big ones. 2011, Obama's State Department left 4 Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens, to be killed by terrorists in Benghazi, Libya. In the weeks leading up to the attack, other countries withdrew their diplomatic presence from the region. But Secretary of State Hillary Clinton forced Americans to stay in a compound that did not have adequate security measures. She also ignored multiple requests for additional security from Stevens in the final moments of his life, while he and his companions were in the midst of a deadly terror attack. And then, of course, afterwards, they tried to cover it up and saying it was a YouTube video that caused it.
And if we remember that YouTube guy, he has had his life ruined by the government ever since, so that they could have a scapegoat for the entire scandal. That compound that Ambassador Stevens was staying in, I think it only had like 3 guards, which is pretty pathetic when you think of all of the Islamic extremism that was going on in the area at the time.
So that's another huge, huge scandal. And again, we probably don't even know the tip of the iceberg on some of those things. Number 3, they say, this is from The Federalist, top 5 scandals out of 730. Number three, that time Obama pretended a massive oil spill wasn't happening. It was on April 23rd, 2010, the same day the U.S. Coast Guard pronounced 11 deepwater workers dead. The Obamas headed to North Carolina for barbecue and a vacation. Obama didn't visit the Gulf area until May 2nd, several days after Governor Bobby Jindal declared the region to be in a state of emergency. When he does finally visit, he leaves soon after to play golf. This isn't the only time President Obama chose to have fun instead of visiting the site of a tragedy. He took 2 weeks to visit San Bernardino after terrorists killed 14 people. When he finally did visit the site of the deadliest terror attack in U.S. soil at that time, he only did so during a pit stop en route to his family's annual vacation to Hawaii. So that was something actually I didn't remember. There's been a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really sad. I mean, even if you think about it, from a selfish perspective, even for him, he could have easily made a stop at those disaster sites and spent some time there having fun after the fact, at least if he'd gone to the right place instead of being unwilling to change his vacation schedule.
The fourth scandal, again, they say he was scandal-free. Number four is Obamacare. From the skyrocketing premiums to extremely long wait times in emergency rooms, Obama's signature health care law has been plagued with scandal after scandal. The rollout of healthcare.gov was a huge disaster, as I think many people remember. The website, which was supposed to be a quick and easy way for Americans to shop and compare prices for insurance plans in the exchange marketplace, was a glitchy heap of garbage. That's what they say. As it turns out, one of the executives at CGI Federal, the company that received a no-bid contract, to build the site was a classmate of Michelle Obama, spurring many to suspect that cronyism and special interests plagued the project from start to finish. You don't think that would happen, do you? No bid.
Oh, so he didn't even have to invest to get the job.
No, he just a freebie. And wow. Then, of course, it was. And then, of course, as they bring out the assurances for the president, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. No, you can't. You like your doctor, you can keep him. No, you can't. Obama's Health and Human Services then used the law to bully nuns and a Christian-owned business for refusing to provide contraceptives to their employees. So that has been, as much as they try to talk like it is some great thing, it has been a disaster.
Yeah, it really has. Does this Federalist article have all 730
just
scandals listed?
Just the top five.
Oh, okay.
Five.
I wonder where we could find the whole list.
Yeah, it's over at Grabian.
Okay, so they took from the list.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. They just took the top five. So, yeah, 730. And counting, by the way. And it's not over yet.
What about all the last-minute regulations?
Oh, sure.
Those will definitely have to be added to the list.
Fifth, and we remember this one, too. When Obama's tax collectors targeted conservative groups and got away with it, using the IRS, you remember that? Nothing to see here. The stuff has been so egregious, and so illegal. There are volumes, books, with hundreds and hundreds of pages written, and not like grasping at straws or assuming things, just he did this, it broke the law here, and the media says no scandals. But again, if you're willing to wink at things, yeah, sure, you can go through life saying no scandals if you just ignore it.
Well, who is the head of the IRS? Was it Lois Lerner? I believe I saw a video of her being questioned by Congress. And it was just so frustrating because the whole time she just said, I respectfully declined to answer this question. I respectfully declined to answer this question. If you're not guilty, then you wouldn't have to say anything like that. Just tell what happened.
Why not just send a recording of the person saying it?
Exactly.
So you could just have a surrogate sit there and press the button.
She said absolutely nothing. And people were getting so mad at her in there.
Yeah.
But
because they have everything to hide. These are just the top five, according to the author of this piece in The Federalist. And there's 730. No scandals? Wow. I mean, how can you trust the media?
They're redefining the word scandal. Just like they've recently redefined the word racism, they're redefining the word scandal to mean anything that doesn't, I guess anything that is against their liberal ideals. Mm-hmm. Because if it's against anything conservative or against the Constitution or if it's anti-God in any way, it can't be a scandal.
And that's the power that they have. They bury the things they want to bury, and you don't know about them, you know, unless somebody digs them up. And then the things they want to highlight, they highlight. if they chose, if the media so chose to highlight the scandals, I mean, they probably could have had, I mean, they really could have done a number on President Obama's administration. It's going to be very interesting how many ever years with Donald Trump, because you remember the end of President Bush's term in office. The media was just out to destroy him. And they went after him and everything you could think of, they went after the guy. And to the point where it was just too much. You're like, well, sure, if there's a problem, it should be highlighted, but this is just too much. This is personal. And it's already starting now. It just gets to be too much.
Well, yeah, where was the breathless, flowery defense of Mr. Bush's perfect legacy? I mean, we're not seeing we never saw anything like that for him. And yet, that's exactly what we're seeing with Mr. Obama. All these really just flagrantly biased defense pieces. They're coming out. They're trying to say Mr. Obama never did anything wrong. And in fact, he would have done a lot better if it wasn't for Congress and wasn't for those far-right extremists who were blocking his path.
You can be a real success in life if you're surrounded by people that agree with everything you say, and anytime something goes wrong, it's somebody else's fault. Who couldn't be, you know, king of the world? It'd be pretty easy. Speaking of the transition, and you remember, of course, President Obama said he was going to do all that he could to ensure a smooth transition, which is a great sign that he's not going to. This is from the New York Post. Team Obama keeps laying new landmines for Trump.
Right. This was a pretty interesting article because it just shows how the words he speaks do not necessarily match up with the actions that he partakes in. I like how they say he's been laying plenty of landmines for Team Trump, because it really does seem like he's trying to put all of these regulations or make all these deals that will hurt Mr. Trump's ability to interact with other nations on the world scene, or even to do things that he wants to domestically. And obviously, he has to have an extreme disregard for what the American people want to even carry these things out. He's forcing things through undemocratically in the final days before he leaves office. And he shouldn't be doing that, because the entire country just rejected his presidency.
Does the New York Post have some examples of what the purpose would be?
Well, they have some examples, like how some of these landmines are clearly from Mr. Obama, like that UN Security Council resolution against Israel, where they declined to vote.
Right.
But still, it made it seem like Israel doesn't have a right to most of its homeland. Then there's the one with Cuba. He clearly was closing the door on refugees, even as the left is in an uproar thinking that Mr. Trump is going to close the door on refugees. He has actually made it a lot harder for Cubans to get to this country. Those are the immigrants who desperately need to leave the country they're in, and yet we're getting rid of them, basically.
Right. So yeah, policy-wise, he's doing that as well.
Right.
And there are some people that have been appointed as well. Like, I just saw the first few paragraphs of the article. And so with all of it, whether it's personnel or like those huge things you mentioned there. And again, those two things you just mentioned, those could very easily be put on the scandal list, because they're totally changing what the position the U.S. has had for years. Those are huge, huge things. And that Cuban thing is just amazing to me, because if you were to believe the left, you know, all they care about is freedom for everybody, and we're all dreamers, and, you know, all this stuff. Except when it comes to Cuba, that we don't care. Get them out of here, because they want to support this dictatorial regime down there. And I even thought of that yesterday when, that one guy from Georgia was saying that
John Lewis,
yes, saying that he thought Donald Trump's presidency was illegitimate. What about the Castro regime in Cuba? You think that's legitimate? That's as illegitimate as you can get. But he didn't have any problem. Apparently, at least he hasn't said anything that I know of, with us normalizing relations with them while they're killing their own people.
Right.
So, you know. Oh, and by the way, I did see that he also refused to go to President Bush's inauguration. So he has a history of just not showing up when his team doesn't win.
Right. He's the proverbial sore loser.
Yeah, front runner.
Right, he's a front runner. That's exactly what John Lewis is. But those two resolutions I was talking about, the one that's anti-Israel and the other one that is pro-Cuba, those were blatantly done by Mr. Obama. There are some others that his people did for him that may have been slightly more subtle, and that's how he usually does it. He's usually not so upfront about his motivations. Maybe though, with Israel and Cuba, he did it because he's about to leave, and he has nothing to lose at this point. He's about to be done being the president, and so he wants to make it clear where he stands on some of these legacy points, which is really just incomprehensible to think that he would favor Cuba and not Israel, which is the only pro-Western country over there. But there are some other plans that his people have laid out on his behalf. There's a Justice Department probe by the Inspector General against Jim Comey. Basically, they are just going to look into Jim Comey's announcements about the Clinton email investigation, how they were going to reopen that right before the election. You know, conveniently enough, they're not going to look into the entire email scandal. They're just going to look into Jim Comey's announcement that they think swayed the outcome of the election. There are plenty of emails in there that they need to look into from Mrs. Clinton as well. And they also need to, they need to get to the bottom of that situation. Why were so many of her people granted immunity in any type of a trial? Why did they agree to delete so much evidence on behalf of the Clinton team? The whole email thing is a scandal, and yet they're only going to look into Jim Comey making an announcement about it. So that's clearly a politically motivated thing that his people did on his behalf, so it's a little bit more subtle. And then also, there was a leak about that Russian dossier. Somebody leaked it to CNN, and it really seems like it was an Obama administration official, because otherwise, if an intelligence official had leaked it, then the presumption would be that the intelligence community actually believes some of the absurd things that are in that dossier. That probably didn't happen. So it really was Mr. Obama's person who probably leaked that to CNN.
Yeah, that's no fun. You're coming into a new job and the guy leaving is causing all kinds of problems for you on your way in. He'll have enough problems. Mr. Trump will have enough problems to face on his own without getting extra help from Mr. Obama.
Right, and I heard a pretty vivid description of Mr. Obama over the weekend as like someone falling and pulling down everything he can with him, like he's going off the edge of a cliff and he's grabbing onto trees and rocks and pulling things down as he's falling. That really does seem like what is happening, because he knows he's lost. He knows the American people have rejected him, minus the people who continue to live in a fantasy world and cheer him no matter what he does. But he just keeps on doing exactly what he wants to do. It doesn't matter what the people want. He's going to really obstruct as much of the democratic process as possible, make it as difficult for Mr. Trump as he possibly can.
You can read more about that at the New York Post. Team Obama keeps laying new landmines for Trump. And really, if you want to get really good insight into what's happening, there's two books are free at thetrumpet.com, America Under Attack and Great Again. And both of those give you really good insight into what's happening now, because it is a very volatile political landscape. And, you know, people don't really have any answers to politicians or the commentators. Why is this happening? What's going on? And but those two booklets, America Under Attack and Great Again, are at thetrumpet.com, and we'll give you some great insight. That'll do it for us on today's edition of Trumpet Radio Live. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your Tuesday. See you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.